Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Coming to you from beautiful, sunny Southern California. Welcome in. It is football season. Football season. Check out the latest lines from the world of sports at Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Bet Rivers is the trusted name in online sports betting. You must be 21. You must be present in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, and Pennsylvania to play. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. I know you just heard it, but you heard a lot of news. And so sometimes when you hear updates from guys like Dan Beyer, maybe it goes kind of, you might have caught it, you might not have caught it. Okay, so the Baltimore Ravens stopped their practice because they just had two significant knee injuries on both, one on each side of the ball. If you've been following the Ravens, this has really been the story of their preseason, has been injuries at running back. They've already lost two running backs to injuries. And then moments ago, it passed on Twitter, Gus Edwards, fear is torn ACL. But you're like, okay, they have Lamar Jackson. It's a running back. You can find a running back on the street. And then it looks like, and Dan Beyer, tell me if I'm wrong, Marcus Peters, significant injury on the defensive side of the ball,
yes,
correct?
that's the report that he also, the team fears, suffered an ACL injury.
It's just, that's tough news. And so in the short term, things that you got to look at is maybe you go more all in on Lamar Jackson in terms of his stats because he's going to have to run it more. Maybe you bet the over because they're going to have to score more to beat the Raiders this weekend. Maybe it changes your fantasy play. Yesterday we said Le'Veon Bell. We both stay away from Le'Veon Bell. Yeah. Now Le'Veon Bell may be active for the opener.
Yeah. It's okay. I mean, this is, you mentioned Lamar Jackson maybe being more of a factor, but remember as well that Lamar Jackson missed some time in camp after testing positive again because of COVID. And Adam Kaplan, friend of the show, Fox Sports Radio insider, joins me on the Sunday show with George Reister. You know, he said that the Ravens had wanted to put more in and for Lamar Jackson when it comes to the passing game and the playbook, and his absence did play a role in that. And then so maybe some of that possible growth was stunted because of his absence. And now you throw all this on top of it. Rashad Bateman, their first round pick, is also hurt. So yeah, I mean, it's tough enough to recover from your top three running backs suffering season ending injuries. Like, and then what do you do after that? I mean, you know, no team could really recover from that. And to think that anything could be better, I'm not so sure.
They have one of the oddest schedules you're ever going to find. I don't know if you saw this, okay? So they open in Vegas against the Raiders, which it's going to be a zoo. Before injuries, they're a far more talented team. I mean, am I wrong? Than the Raiders. Raiders still searching for something.
Yeah.
Then they get Kansas City at home, a team who that's been their nemesis. They've been unable to beat, but they do get them at home. Then they go to Detroit. Detroit stinks, but and then to Denver. Denver plays a lot of early season games at home. So three of their first four are on the road. Granted, three of them against non-playoff teams from last year. Then they come home, and they actually have four consecutive home games with a bye week. Right? Indy, Chargers, Cincy, bye week, Minnesota. Then they go 4 of 5 on the road. Like, they have the weirdest. Actually, it's 5 of 7 on the road. And then they finish with 3 or 4 at home. They got one of the weirdest schedules I've ever seen.
I sometimes look, I don't know if it's half full or half empty when you're looking at the glass when it comes to the Ravens schedule. But if I was a Ravens fan, how I would look at this, Doug, is, you know, you do have the Chiefs, but you have the Lions. First, the the first three games, two of them you felt pretty good about, Raiders and Lions. Now if you're having to adjust on the fly and have no sort of idea how things are going to play out, Monday night looks like it's a much tougher task, and then you have the Chiefs after that. They should still be able to beat the Lions, but you never know. It's almost like you'd rather have a gauntlet of teams to run through than maybe a couple of cupcakes, so then you could at least have some sense of how you're going to navigate the season.
No question. It completely changes my look at that Raiders game. I would also say this is perfect for Lamar and for the Ravens, because I don't care how good your rushing attack is and how great your offense is at running the football. Backups are backups for a reason. You start to get to your... They've lost three running backs for the year. Three! Like, Le'Veon Bell, it's not like Andy Reid forgot football. You know? Le'Veon Bell is not the same guy. And that doesn't mean they settle on Le'Veon Bell for the rest of the year. But the idea that they're going to have anywhere near the same running game is hard to believe, which will put more pressure on Lamar as a passer, which is the big question about Lamar moving forward. And then you factor in, you lose Marcus Peters, who they move mountains to trade for. And that's been the big thing is, hey, the offense, it shortens the game, it puts pressure on the defense, but the defense is Super Bowl caliber. Now you lose the talent of a guy like Marcus Peters. And that changes things up a little bit.
Remember when the Seahawks a few years ago, when Chris Carson went down, and they had lost Rashad Penny earlier, that they had to sign
Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, I mean, you're just hoping to navigate a couple of games. They were going into the playoffs as well, but you're just, okay, how could we figure this out and get some sort of rhythm or figure out a way to make it work? And this is now a 17-game season. And to your point about Le'Veon Bell, and really to your point about anybody else they bring in, Todd Gurley, if they want to bring him in, there's a reason why these guys are out there. If there was true value, they would be on a team entering week one. This is, I just think it's extremely difficult. And I actually think that we don't even get a real read on Lamar Jackson now because of all this. I mean, it's too much going to be put on his plate to have to carry, this team. I mean, if he's stellar, Doug, maybe that tells us, more about him. But if he struggles this season, I don't know how much we can blame him, considering they're down to running back number four and their first-round pick as a wide receiver is, on the shelf. So I don't know how much of a read we're going to get on him.
They're a mess. They're a mess. And, oh, yeah, by the way, Marquise Brown has not been nearly what he was advertised to be. Plus, it's hard with the limited targets you're going to get in this offense. Sammy Watkins is their number two. And Sammy Watkins has been on three teams in the NFL already. Each one of those teams, the Bills fell out of love with him. Eventually, with the Rams, he became their fourth best wide receiver, their fourth option. And the same with the Chiefs, right?
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong. And this is a very well-run organization. When things go right, it's awesome. But the problem with this style of football is things have to really go right.
Yeah.
What are you going to say? I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, just to you take the playoff picture in the AFC, we've talked about how many teams actually have a chance at making the playoffs, and there are a bunch. And now, I mean, this is going to be a very, very tall task. It's not like they can navigate, maybe get in as the seventh seed. Now you have New England, we think is going to be better. We expect the Chargers to be better. I expect Denver to be better. Who knows with Pittsburgh? But right now, I'd rather be in Pittsburgh's case than Baltimore's, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, and
I wasn't
and remember
like that at the start
and
of
in
the
that,
day,
in,
honestly.
No, totally. Me either. I'm not. Pittsburgh is a big unknown. Cincinnati thinks their defense is much better, but they're a big unknown. Cleveland, we just don't know how if they can be consistent. But God, this changes the whole AFC. And look, here's the crazy part about it. The big fear with Lamar and the way he plays is that eventually he's going to get hurt. And we're not even talking about Lamar, knock wood, hopefully he doesn't get hurt, right? But he's going to have to do more. And they're going to have to play a little bit different than they've played. They're going to because their defense is not going to be the same.
Here's the other question: is I talked about I don't know how much we're going to learn about Lamar Jackson unless we learn a lot of more good things about him. What do you do when you're the Ravens and a contract comes up? Because if Lamar Jackson has an unbelievable season, now you're making him the highest paid player, which I'm sure that they would rather prefer than the other side. But if you can't get a real read on him because of the lack of depth and the, you know, lack of playmakers and the lack of running game, how does that contract negotiation end up working out for Baltimore? That's stuff that we'll talk about in February and March, but
it
but
is
it's just a lot of dominoes.
Absolutely nutty. Nutty, nutty, nutty. Whew, what a day. And this is only, we're only talking about one team. But as I pointed out an hour ago, what we've forgotten about last year, okay, we forgot last year was a year, go through the teams. And everybody said, well, you know, it's a COVID year, so that's why there's so many more injuries. But you had, the Patriots had 8 opt-outs on the defensive side of the football. Plus, Julian Edelman got hurt early on the season, right? 2 years ago, you had Big Ben, obviously, with the arm. You kind of go through the league and look at all the injuries that were sustained. This is football. This is sport. This is the NBA. And oftentimes, it's not the best teams. It's the healthiest teams. And right now, the Ravens are not healthy. Now, they're not. It's not Lamar, thank goodness. And Marcus Peters, though he talks a good game and is a tremendous player, it's one player on the defense. But we're starting to see you get into your fifth, sixth option at running back, and you're not going to be the same football team. And of course, look, last year they lost Ronnie Stanley, and they weren't the same running the football. When a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and if signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks. Even if you don't see a train stop, trains can't paid for by NHTSA. Kyle Shanahan is playing a game that I don't think anyone else is aware of. It's next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Kind of weird question. What's Bruno Mars been up to? Ryan? Jay Stu, you're a man about town. By the way, welcome back. Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Jay Stu, what's Bruno Mars been up to?
Bruno Mars was in Vegas last week. I took my girlfriend to see him.
Really?
He was outstanding. And
no, he's amazing.
He did an encore with this song, and the place went nuts.
Yeah, guy can sing, guy can dance, and listed at 5'5". He's a 5'5 list, but my man can move as well. Great hair. Really good hair. Great hair. All right. Man, this Ravens thing is crazy. Crazy. You know what else is crazy? This Kyle Shanahan, like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Kyle Shanahan, of course, they drafted Trey Lance. Everybody thinks that they want to sit him and get him ready and maybe use him in some short yardage stuff. Jimmy Garoppolo has been named a captain. Here's Kyle Shanahan answering a question about what is starting quarterback. It looks like.
Is Jimmy Garoppolo the starting quarterback Sunday?
I'm not going to answer that because I feel like all you guys got to do is look how I've talked since July 27th, I think it was my opening day of press conference. I almost wish I wasn't being hard-headed with it, but I feel like you guys are being a little hard-headed to keep asking. I feel like I've already answered it, so we'll keep it at that.
Why not just say Jimmy Garoppolo's, like, can, tell me, this is the lesson I learned in broadcasting, okay? I've made a lot of mistakes. In broadcasting, in life, right? To err is human. I am very human, very human. And I'll never forget. I'm not really sure it was a mistake, but we were doing halftime of Duke and Maryland ACC semifinals, and this is going back. I'm so old now. So old now. This is going back 12 years ago or so. And I'm sitting next to Tom Brennan. And, let's see here. I got to see who is. I want to say is Scott. Oh, man. trying to think who the host was who was with us. Anyway, it goes to halftime, and Duke sends Chris Collins, who's then the associate head coach, out to do the halftime interview, right? And Scott Reese is my host. Anyway, so they come back to us in studio, and Scott Reese asks Tom Brennan a question about the game, and then asks me, and I was like, "Look, I just don't understand why Coach K can't do a halftime interview." They're like, "What?" I was like, "You know, he's the coach of Team USA. He's won all these national championships. He's arguably the most successful coach in the history of modern basketball. Why is the assistant coach doing the halftime interview? At halftime of a game, the assistant coach doesn't talk unless it's his scout. The head coach talks. Why are we listening to the assistant coach?" And like, Scott Reese is like, he's seen a ghost. He's like, "Okay, more opinions when we come back, coming up, you know, next to the whatever halftime, the Bette Rivers halftime show." So I get, there's a red phone behind me. Red phone behind me, and it rings. And that phone has never rung before. So somebody answers it like, "Gottlieb, come over here." So I'm still mic'd up. And my boss at the time, the guy who hired me to initially work on television, a guy named Dan Steer, he's like, "What the F are you doing? What is the win in going after Coach K when we're at halftime of Duke, Maryland?" And my point was like, I thought it was a good point to be made. Maybe not here. Like that. What are you doing? But what resonated, and even if I disagree to this, even to this day, I disagree that it wasn't a point to be made. His point was like, what's the win here? What did you hope to win? That you were the guy who called out Coach K for not doing the halftime interview? And I was like, yeah, I guess. Like, okay, the downside is way more than the upside. And so my point would be with Kyle Shanahan, what's the win in just go like, "Hey, you know, we talked about this in July and we've been really impressed with Trey, but Jimmy's our starting quarterback. That's been the plan all along. Nothing has changed. The only thing that's changed is you guys have seen Trey and how good he is." What's the win here? It's an interesting point, right? Let's get you to one second before we get Dan Beyer. Let's get you to Dan Beyer. Dan, what do you got?
Doug, a little bit more news coming out of what happened at Ravens practice today. If you are just joining us, Ravens running back Gus Edwards and cornerback Marcus Peters both reportedly suffered serious knee injuries in practice that could cost both of them their seasons. The injuries were thought to have occurred on back-to-back plays. Now, the team fears that they are ACL injuries. If you remember, J.K. Dobbins tore his ACL in their final preseason game. Justice Hill tore his Achilles and is done for the season as well. The other thing, Doug, is Peter Schrager of the NFL Network is saying that Peters was doing a drill that he had done many, many times when the injury occurred. So a freak injury when it comes to Peters. But again, Ravens running back Gus Edwards and cornerback Marcus Peters may have suffered season-ending injuries in practice today. Week one starts tonight. The NFL season kicks off in Tampa. Cowboys and Buccaneers at 8:20 Eastern time. It's our Discover Card Key matchup brought to you by Discover. Discover matches all the cash back you earn in your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover is accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen report limitations apply. Raiders running back Josh Jacobs was on the practice field today. He sat out some workouts earlier this week. Giants running back Saquon Barkley practiced again today. He remains on track to face the Broncos in week one. A's on top of the White Sox, 1-0 in the third inning, while the Cardinals topped the Dodgers today, 2-1. LA now 2.5 back of San Francisco in the NL West. Doug, back to you.
Want to look like $1 million, but only spend a handful of bucks? Upgrade to Dollar Shave Club 6-blade razor for a noticeably smooth shave thanks to their precision. 6 precision cut stainless steel blades. Find your perfect shave wherever you shop, in-store, online at dollarshaveclub.com. That's dollarshaveclub.com. He was an unbelievable quarterback in his day at Notre Dame, and of course, a longtime pro. You've seen him call games for years. We couldn't be more pleased to have Steve Berline join us here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Steve, I don't know if you heard this. The Ravens now have 3 running backs that have torn their ACL. 3.
I cannot believe it.
Have you ever seen anything like that at one position group?
No, never. I mean, you lose your top running back twice before the season even starts. Just doesn't make any sense. And that's, yeah, you got to wonder what it is, if there's anything that maybe they're doing. And I know that Dobbins, I think his was hurt during the game. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, so his was during a game, but
yeah, during the last preseason game, yeah, right, where they've won like a record number of preseason games. Like, what is he even doing in the game? But regardless, Dobbins got hurt in the game. The others in practice.
What's that?
Dobbins got hurt in the game, and the others have gotten hurt in practice.
Yeah. So it's just a terrible situation, and you know, I don't know. I know they just picked up Le'Veon Bell, so. The word I saw earlier today was that they were thinking before Gus Edwards got hurt, they were thinking that Le'Veon Bell might be able to play and help him out on Monday night. But, you know, it would be amazing if he all of a sudden was thrust into that starting role.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Steve Berline is our guest. Let's get to the Cowboys tonight. They've revamped their defense. Dak's back. The offensive line isn't what it was a couple years ago, but still pretty good offensive line. What do you think of this group of Cowboys?
Well, you know, it's one of those things where on paper going into the season, you think they should be the best team in the NFC East. I really feel like talent-wise they should be. You know, there's still some question marks defensively, but I think they got better and they will play better. With some of these guys getting a little bit more experience. But, you know, it's just going to be Dak. But here's the thing that has kind of driven me crazy this whole offseason, Doug, and that's that a lot of people are saying that the Cowboys season fell apart last year when Dak got hurt. But you know and I know the Cowboys were 1-3 with Dak last year, and they should have been 0-4. The only game they won was the muffed onside kick against the Atlanta Falcons, where they, you know, all those games they were getting blown out as well. And Dak had big numbers, but they were playing catch up the whole time. So, in my opinion, the jury's still out on Dak. And, you know, he's going to be a little bit, I think, tentative and apprehensive because he hasn't played in almost a year. Didn't play in the preseason. Hasn't taken a hit. I know he can do it. I know he can put the numbers up. He's got a lot of weapons in that offense in the passing game, and I really expect Zeke to have a good year this year. You know, they're going against the world champions right now. It's not the ideal game for Dak to make his comeback. And I guarantee you what Tampa Bay is going to do is really focus on shutting down Zeke and put the pressure on Dak and see if he can stand in there strong and make all the throws. And if he can, I think the Cowboys can play with him. But if he's rusty or if he's a little tentative, this game could get out of hand pretty quick, I think.
You played forever, right? Like that was your gift is that you played a long, long time in this league. To see Brady playing at this level, and it wasn't perfect last year. Like, let's not recreate, like, he had the most he finished strong. He had some great moments in the playoffs, first half against the Packers. You know, he played very well, obviously, in the Super Bowl, but for a guy like yourself that played well, you know, into your mid-30s, to watch him do this in his 40s, what comes to your mind?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that come to mind, Doug. You know, and I think we're going to see it a lot more as time goes by, players playing longer periods of time, because obviously it's not the same game that it was. You know, you can't hit a quarterback high. You can't hit him low. You can't land on him. You can't hit him in the head. You know, receivers aren't getting hit the way that they used to get hit. So there's not as much of a premium on quarterbacks, you know, having to be able to rip the ball in there like they used to, because the receivers aren't exposed and getting hit like they used to. That's not taking anything away from Tom Brady. And I know the rules were all made in the interest of player safety. But, you know, Tom Brady to produce at the level that he has, at this point in time, you know, whether it's the current NFL or not, is truly amazing. And it's a testimony or a testament to his, not only his physical you know, training and the regimen and his discipline. But the thing that was really hardest for me as I got up into my 15th, 16th, 17th year with kids and with all the different things was the mental part of it, the grind of having to get ready to go into a training camp and get through another season. It just wears on you. And, you know, Brady seems to be more enthused at this point in his career than he's ever been. And that, I think, is what makes him unique. He says he still has the hunger, the passion, and the desire to do more and to try to become more of a legend than he already is. And I think that's what separates him from the rest. And he's able to commit to it and get it done and make sure that he takes good care of himself. And I wouldn't be surprised if he had another great year this year.
Steve Berline joining us, Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Josh Allen's a guy, signed a big contract for this year. People are predicting the Bills could get to and win a Super Bowl. Defense is good. They can run it. But a lot of it is based upon his production and the use of Stephon Diggs. He took a big jump last year, Steve, in terms of his accuracy. Is that sustainable?
I think it is. I think it is. I'm picking Buffalo and the Rams in the Super Bowl this year. And I don't know who's going to win, but those are my two picks. You heard it here first. I'm a huge Josh Allen fan. I was before the draft when you know, Cleveland ended up taking but Baker Mayfield that year, I was telling everybody, I said, if you don't take Josh Allen number one, you're going to regret it because this guy has got all the tools. I knew that he would evolve into a great quarterback. Now, it's happened much more quickly than I thought it would. I didn't think he would make the jump that he has made to this point in his career, you know, so quickly to elevate to the level that he's at. But it just validates, I think, all my hopes and expectations for him. I love his attitude. I love his passion for the game. He's one of those guys that I don't think he's ever going to get cocky. He's going to keep working hard. He's in a great situation with a great coach. And Brandon Bean, the general manager there, has done a super job building that football team. Brandon's a good friend of mine from my Carolina Panther days. And I just think that they've done a super job building that team around him. That move to get Stephon Diggs was a difference maker last year. And if Josh Allen stays healthy, I think you can expect him to say, you know, I'm only going to continue to get better for the next several years.
You know, you've been the backup. You've been the starter. You've been the starter who was replaced by the backup. You had, you had the turnstile thing going. I remember when you played for Buddy Ryan, where he's yanking guys in and out. You've been through just about every situation. Steve Berline, our guest on the Doug Gottlieb Show. If there's a situation, a quarterback in the NFL, you've done it right. Been a part of a Super Bowl backup. You got to play with Troy. I remember 1 year. I don't understand what Kyle Shanahan's doing, right? Like, take a listen. This is the sound. With yesterday, Kyle Shanahan meeting with reporters when they asked if he was going to name a starter.
Is Jimmy Garoppolo the starting quarterback Sunday?
I'm not going to answer that because I feel like all you guys got to do is look how I've talked since July 27th, I think it was my opening day of press conference. I almost wish I wasn't being hard-headed with it, but I feel like you guys are being a little hard-headed to keep asking. I feel like I've already answered it, so we'll keep it at that.
Why wouldn't he just name Garoppolo? What is the win? Tell, explain to me the win.
Well, there is no win. You know, I've known Kyle since he was 5 years old. So when Mike Shanahan was the head coach for the Raiders back in 1988, I was his starting quarterback, and Kyle was our little ball boy. So he's a stubborn guy. He's a hard-headed guy. He doesn't really care what anybody thinks. You know, he was, I think, just making a statement that, you know, I've said all along, Jimmy's going to be the starting quarterback. Why do we have to keep playing this game? Let's just go out and play and move on and get past it. Now, having said that, I would not be surprised that you know, we'll see Trey Lance in there if Jimmy Garoppolo struggles. But I really believe this. Kyle Shanahan does not want to play Trey Lance. He knows he's got a great football team. Other than the uncertainty about his quarterback, if Jimmy Garoppolo can play at a high level, this is a playoff team, and they can make a deep run to the playoffs. And I think he's hoping that Jimmy Garoppolo will answer the bell and at least play well enough to get him into the playoffs. And then if they determine that Trey Lance is ready to go for next year, they can maybe get a nice draft pick for Jimmy Garoppolo in the offseason. So I think that's kind of his mentality. He wants Jimmy to do well. He doesn't want to have to go to Trey Lance early. We'll see if that happens.
Tua was supposed to be this, you know, what we've been told Trevor Lawrence is. Tua was a smaller, you know, football savant, great feel, just winner, different level of guy. And maybe it was the hip, maybe it was the offense, maybe it was he didn't have guys to throw to, but there was a lack of wow last year. So much so that, you know, look, there's been lots of reports they're interested in Deshaun Watson. He's been better here in the preseason, but it's hard to tell. Is he good? I guess the question is, you know way better than anybody else does. Do you think Tua is legitimately good enough for the Dolphins?
I think that's a big question mark still. And that's the reason why you see the association with being interested in Deshaun Watson. I think it's also why you see that, you know, Tua, in this day and age, a lot of these young quarterbacks are named captains of their football team. I think I heard something this morning that Tua is the only returning quarterback in the NFL that is not a captain. And even some of these young rookies have been named captains. Zach Wilson, I know. I don't know about Trevor Lawrence. But I think, and it could be a result of the head coach, too. Maybe Brian Flores has said, I don't want him to be a captain until he proves until he earns it. And maybe it's a challenge to Tua. I do expect him to come out motivated, and I really do like Tua. I wouldn't be surprised if he were to step it up this year and really, you know, establish himself as a good starting quarterback, but I'm not expecting it. He's just not one of those guys you look at and you say, he's a sure thing. I never felt that way about him. I had Herbert rated higher than him last year. And I think I had Tua actually ranked number three out of my top five. So, we'll see what happens. He's got to make a jump this year. There's no doubt. And I still wouldn't be surprised to see if something did happen with Deshaun Watson at some point.
Steve Berline, who's a Servite alum. Servite's a all-boys private school. By the way, a buddy of mine's son is going to be their next kind of star quarterback. I got to hook you guys up. He's going to be great.
Servite Friars, man.
So we got Orange County guys. Sam Darnold, of course, South Orange County, San Clemente High School, USC, trying to reinvent himself here with the Carolina Panthers. I haven't given up on him. How about you? Where are you on Sam Darnold as he gets what could be his last opportunity to be a franchise quarterback with the Panthers?
You know, I haven't given up on Sam either. But again, as I said about Tua, I was not sold 100% on Sam Darnold coming out. I still have to see it. I think this is the best possible situation that could have developed for Sam Darnold, getting out of New York, starting fresh after, you know, all the problems that they had up there and all the challenges. He was put into a terrible situation with the coach, with the organization, with the team. He's now going to a place, and me having played in Carolina for 5 years, and lived there for 15. I know how hungry that city is for a really good young quarterback to come in and take control of that franchise. They're going to support him until he proves that he can't handle it. I know Matt Rhule must really like him. So it's going to be a good situation for him. Now, having said that, I do believe that the Panthers didn't need to make a change from Teddy Bridgewater. I don't consider Sam Darnold to be necessarily an upgrade. I really thought Teddy Bridgewater had got a raw deal there, and I think he's going to show in Denver this year that he still is a good quarterback. You know, last year with a new head coach, going through all the COVID stuff, no offseason, losing Christian McCaffrey in week one or week two, I think everything worked against Teddy Bridgewater. I think he can play in this league, and I didn't consider Sam Darnold an upgrade. But I think it's a great situation for both of them moving forward, and they're going to have a chance to prove themselves, which is really all you want as a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, you lose the best running back in the league. He plays three games last year. No one's going to look, and they were in rebuild mode. No one's going to look great. Steve Berline. Steve, great stuff, man. Thanks so much for joining us.
You got it, Doug. Anytime, man.
All right, let's see. We got breaking news in the NFL. A gigantic deal. Let's get to Dan Byer.
Breaking news from Fox Sports.
Doug, the NFL Network, the first to report that the Pittsburgh Steelers and outside linebacker T.J. Watt have come to terms on a deal that will make him the highest-paid defensive player in the NFL. It's a four-year extension for Watt worth $112 million, $80 million guaranteed, skill, cap, and injury, all guarantees there. So the Steelers get a deal done with T.J. Watt.
And, of course, Steelers, as we point out, they don't negotiate in season. Season has not technically begun. And we all know that's why Ben Roethlisberger took less money, right? Not because they didn't, they weren't going to pay him. They weren't going to keep him at the previous guy. I'm kidding, of course. Whew, we got a lot to get to. Check out the latest lines in the world of sports at Bet River Sportsbook. Bet Rivers is the trusted name in online sports betting. You must be 21. You must be present in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, or Pennsylvania to play. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Wait to hear what Colin Cowherd said about Tua not being named captain with the Dolphins. That's next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Check out the latest lines in the world of sports, Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Bet Rivers is the trusted name in online sports betting. Must be 21. Must be present in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, or Pennsylvania to play. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. See, that's a professional billboard reader right there, Ramos. Do you know why I'm a professional billboard reader? Not just because I get paid to do it, but do you know why?
Because you're really good?
No. Oh. Well, I am really good. But so the copy always reads, you must be present in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, and Pennsylvania to play. Based upon how that reads, I have to be present in four different states at the same time. Now, I don't know about you, but unless I go to, there's that one spot in the country, right, where the four state thing, where it's like New Mexico, Arizona, I don't know where the other two states are, right? That's like the only spot where you can be in. You can put your, what? It's like a Twister, right? That's the only place in the country you could be in four states at one time. Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, or Pennsylvania to play. Plus, if we're honest, I believe that Bet Rivers, there's more states have opened up. It's Pennsylvania, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Iowa, Colorado, West Virginia, and Virginia. I'm just telling you, professional reader of copy. Let's get to what the Fox says.
And now.
What does the Fox say? By the way, Bet Rivers is a great site. Okay, so every day this time we search. I listened to Dan today. I listened to Colin today. This was Colin talking about Tua not being named captain.
Miami is the only team in the league that has reported so far that has captains that didn't name their quarterback. Now, think about that. I'm not talking rookie. So take Mac Jones out. He's a rookie. Tua's not a rookie. Tua is the only quarterback in the league this morning who is not a rookie of the teams that have captains. It's the only team that didn't name their quarterback captain. I'm saying Ryan Fitzpatrick got it last year in Miami. Tua didn't get it. And they were also in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes 2 weeks ago. Just saying. These are not opinions. This is not opinion, Colin. This is journalism. This is facts, Colin. So Brian Flores was definitive. Tua is our guy. Not according to his teammates. I say this all the time. Teammates know. Can't fool the players. You cannot fool the players. You may be able to fool them for a week or two in the NFL. Raw, raw. We're going to win all our games and bite their kneecaps. About week three, all the players know. Can't fool the players. Players didn't vote for Tua. It's something. Not everything. It's something.
I would completely agree on 2 points. I've said that. I've said that line for a long time that you can't fool the players. A long, long time. And you can't fool them for a week or two. You can't fool them at all. That just it's impossible to do. But I also think that we have to also open our brains to the idea, just the idea that, hey, maybe Flores does things a little differently. Remember, Flores is the guy that pulled him late in games, and then he was still the starter the next week. So Flores is rolling a little bit different than every other coach in the NFL. And if he's making him earn it, like, look, to be a rookie and to be a captain is kind of silly. It just is. I think the whole captain thing is kind of silly. Somebody's going to have to explain to me why it's a big deal. But when everybody else does it, normally I would say that's a huge issue. The counter to it is Brian Flores has reacted differently to every situation, quite differently than many of his predecessors, not just in the Dolphins, but head coaches overall. We told him last year, you can't start a guy and then pull him and then have him your starter next week, even when the backup Ryan Fitzpatrick outplays him. And Brian Flores' answer was, I'm doing it my way. This is Nick Wright on Derek Jeter's. Oh, we don't have time yet. It's not too long. Too long. All right, my bad. What does the fox say? All right. Man, we got a lot to get to. When a train hits a vehicle or railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and if signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks. Even if you don't see a train, stop. Trains can't, paid for by NHTSA. Who's going to win tonight? And why does it matter? Next in the Doug Gottlieb Show.